listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Sambano, Sambano, Sambano.
No handbrake, what country?
It's what you might say if you went in Mongolia and you went in to order some beef, because they do a great beef, the Mongolians.
You're basing that off Noodle World?
Yes, Mongolian beef is delicious.
But you might say hello, hello, hello if you're a policeman.
Yes.
Only who's investigating a beef crime.
Yeah.
At a beef shop in beef, Mongolia.
In Mongolia, yes, yes.
I look forward to the week where we have a digital greeting, Anna. Will you ever do a ones and zeros greeting?
Well, that's interesting.
The corresponding ASCII code for hello, hello, hello.
Yeah,
take you ages.
That is interesting. And no,
you
and no
ages.
Is the answer.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Can be a second answer, but no probably is the answer. Hey, Haim, the reason why we... the reason...
You know, so disappointed in you. All I asked for.
The reason why it's great that you did no guessing...
Yeah, no handbrake.
Because no handbrake, but I want to get straight into a special skill today. From a...
I see a phone call up.
Yeah, phone
Who's
call
Lana?
Up. Lana?
Lana. Who's
been,
Lana?
Lana had to wait through the start of an open.
Lana,
are you there?
Ahoy.
That was so awesome. The whole buffering. The internet buffering.
Yeah. yeah.
You got to hear it live,
yes.
Lana. What a treat.
No. Oh, guys. I have to say, ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
Lana.
Do you know which language that is? You are channeling the Slovak language.
Yes, Slovakian.
We have,
yes,
we have that.
Mentioned it, yes.
It's also the language of the high seas and no laws.
Well, Lana is a language expert, Ham.
Is that what?
No.
Well, let me say verbatim what she wrote on her form.
I'm in the dark here, Lana, so I don't know what you're doing here.
The reason why you're in the dark, Ham, is because I want to put Lana against you today.
See.
I want to test your special skill, Lana, because your special skill at Red, in any language... comma. I can tell you what the language is to the dialect level when listening to a weatherman / weatherwoman.
Wow. Very politically correct. Beautiful.
Yes. So I have done...
Oh, this is a language off. We get to do a language off.
A language off.
See.
Haim, I have done some nutting around and found different languages and the weather people
Bravo.
Running it. And so what I'm going to do, the way I thought we'd do the game, is because... Yeah. I will play a weather person from a different country.
See,
Lana gets to choose first. And, Haim, you can either say, I agree with her, or I'd like to go differently.
See.
Okay. That's how it's going to play.
Can I practice it that someone do this form for me on a drunken evening?
they're our favourite ones.
But you came out with language-based stuff at the top of the phone call, Lana.
It's
so
true.
You know.
We already have evidence that you love languages.
And weather.
In different languages. So this seems very hard for me to win. So I go either agree with Lana, so we both get a point, or I overrule her. But then do I have to say the language?
Yes, then you have to pick another language. The reason why I'm doing that is
your least favourite type of content on the show.
Yeah. You're the control.
Yeah.
This is not a game against Lana.
Yep.
You are a layperson playing.
Yep.
And if Lana is in fact special, she can prove herself.
Shouldn't I have a guess first? Not as much as I don't want to introduce my least favourite type of
That was my problem, because I can't have you leading the witness at all, because we need to test her skill.
True. So this is like the day they were like, they got Superman and a normal man to go, right, both try and leap this building in a single bound.
Yes.
The normal man just hit the glass, got a bump on his head. Yeah. Superman made it easily.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
It's making me look better. That's beautiful. Thank
you. You're Superman. Man, Lana.
Okay. Lana, here is the first one.
На Дальнем Востоке зима проявляет себя по-разному. На материке установился с морозами антициклон. Вдоль побережья циклоны несут снегопады. И самое интересное, что...
No, I know. So...
Oh, you can...
Haim, after you.
No, Lana, you go first.
Lovely. So it's definitely a Slavic language. And it's either the Russian or the Ukrainian. I'm going to go with the softer Ukrainian.
Haimish, what were you going to go with?
I would have gone Russian.
Russian. It is Russian.
Blakey!
But, I mean, Lana was very close. She was there as well.
There's a bit of blending between Ukrainian, no doubt, and Russian. I've won there. I've won. Full stop.
No, there's no one. You haven't won anything. Let's make this very clear. You're a control. You're not winning. This is not a contest. You're a layperson.
Why Jack play the correct sound effect?
Okay, here's the second one.
남은 휴일 동안 날이 좀 화창하면 좋으련만 오늘 오후부터 제주도와 전남 해안 지역을 중심으로 약한 비가 오락가락 이어지고 있는데요.
Oh, it's so cute. It has to be Korean.
She's right.
Korean.
Yes.
Korean.
And Haim, would you have agreed?
Yes. Hip hip. 2-1.
Okay. Lana, here's the third one.
Ale nad naszym krajem w dość sporej części jeszcze zalegają takie arktyczne masy powietrza, do tego dużo wilgoci. To spowoduje...
Beautiful. So it's either Czech or Slovak. and I would... It's sort of a softer, more Slavic sound. It's less Czech and Germanic. So I'd say it's Slovak.
Slovak? That one's...
I could be wrong.
That one's
Polish. I would have said Polish.
Hamish jumping.
You didn't give me my bit. Who's in the wrong there, Andy? You did not give the control his
you
chance to control.
You saw my lips pursing for a pee.
How could I ever not look at Jack? I'm mesmerised by his hair. Do something about that hair.
Oh, Hamish is right.
Okay, he's right.
Felt a bit Polish to me.
But he was cheating. I'll play the game properly now, Ham, and I'll let you come in. There's two to go. Have a go at this one, Lana.
Trong ngày hôm nay, vùng xoáy thấp sẽ tan đi dần. Tuy nhiên, giải hội tụ nhiệt đới có trục qua khu vực miền Trung kết hợp với trường gió đông dầu ẩm vẫn hoạt động. Bởi vậy, khu vực Bắc và Trung Trung Bộ vẫn có mưa.
What are you thinking, Lana?
Oh! She's hung up.
Can
I have
a
go?
Yes.
Vietnamese.
You've got it. And we're not giving Lana a coin. And she's gone.
Why?
And I think we have to leave it like
Must
that.
You insist on getting these people who aren't me and then showing... She didn't like that rubbed in her face.
Do you think she actually hung up out of not wanting to play?
Or you reckon it was our dodgy phone system that often disconnects people? No. I think in this instance... Yeah. It was a walkout. I think she heard it, and it was like that conundrum.
Yeah,
a lady was on a podcast playing a pick the dialect game.
Yeah,
she heard some speaking. She instantly knew she couldn't win. How? Because she was playing Hamish, and he's good at Vietnamese. fun way to start the show, but down to business. no offense, Lana. This is something that's obviously a little bit of the elephant in the room. Last couple of weeks I've been promising new tracksuits.
Yep.
I'm leading the charge for the new tracksuits. There's no two ways about that. I didn't like the Puma one I picked, who I've best been in it for too long.
Yes.
Far, far too long. And it's time to hop out.
Then you made a big promise that there'll be new tracksuits the next week. It got to the next week, you'd forgot you'd made the promise.
And then
scrambling began. And so where are we at?
True.
What phase are we at in the Hamish scramble, Jack, at the moment? Are we...
Solution phase.
Wow.
Because I just said, look, we have no brand allegiance to anyone.
No.
We just like tracksuits.
Yes.
We like to have a vaguely team feel about doing the show. We still get to maintain our individuality.
And we like being comfy.
Just like being comfy. Mm. And just steps up professionalism, I think, a little bit.
Yep.
If you've got a uniform to do the show in. Mm. And I think I threw around the brand name Nike.
Yes.
A well-known sports brand. And I said, I've got the wheels are in motion at Nike.
Yeah, when they weren't. And then that's when scramble phase one starts.
No one's... I've unfortunately not got access to those records.
Yep.
But that's not how I recall it.
Okay.
Very, very good relationship with Nike this show has. Mm. Wheels are certainly in motion.
Yep.
Lo and behold, would you please be upstanding?
Standing again. All right. We fell for it last time,
Mike,
Jack.
Bring in the tracksuits. Bring in our new suits.
Oh, I see something coming. I might stand now.
Okay, here we go. I give you our placeholder suits to get us nice and ready.
What?
Nice and ready for Nike.
They look like Hazchem suits.
Ah, I see what you've done. Okay. You've drawn a Nike logo on some cheap suits with a marker.
These are the disposable painting suits, but I just thought it...
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a plastic poncho.
Well, no, it's not.
We look like something out of Breaking Bad, but less cool.
No, you look like we're painting, that's all. But this gives us a cool... Let's our bodies get used to the Nike suits.
Do we put them over the top of the pumas?
Oh, I'm going to be taking my puma off because I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
And this way we're all in cool white Nike tracksuits. Yes, I've had to make these ones because the other ones, now I don't know why. You get to pick up the phone, Jack, and talk to Nike head office.
You could get sued for using the tick.
Well, I don't think so because we do have real Nike tracksuits on the way. So we just explain to them. just explain to them. Yeah, like when you get done with counterfeit money, it's placeholder money. I'm waiting for more money to come in. So I'm just using these 50s as a placeholder.
So you expect us to do the rest of the show in these?
I mean, it's not that like that. Yeah. We get to do the rest of the show in our cool new placeholder outfits. I'm very, very much working day to day, talking to the people at Nike.
Yes or no, have you spoken to anyone at Nike?
Yes.
Now, truthfully.
Yes. Am I disappointed with the time frame that they've been giving me? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I scrambling to provide solutions for the show to get me out of this stupid pumice?
But what? Yes. This isn't a better solution. You said we wanted it individuality.
It is for me.
All right, I'll get in it.
It's just a sabotage. It's not better, but now you bring us down to your level.
So that's a nice way of looking at it. probably Jack's the closest to the money so far. Next week, fingers crossed, exciting news.
Hey, and for those in Australia, or if they're going to fake a little VPN...
Yeah,
and get themselves to be in Australia to get onto Channel 9's catch up. Anyway, that's your access to
Andy Lee, prominent media figure, encouraging VPN usage. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Yes, anything to watch our show, our new series, True Story Season 2 starts on Tuesday night.
Yep,
it's going to be on at 8:40,
just after the block. This assumes you're listening to this before a Tuesday, and as Ando said, you are in Australia or using a VPN.
If people don't know this show, essentially we looked for and through this podcast as well. Yeah. So we thank them again.
A lot of the people that ended up on the show were podcasters.
Yes, looked for the funniest true stories, most amazing true stories from across all of Australia. 8,000 story submissions we had.
The cracking stories that are famous in someone's group.
Yep.
But guess what? Now they're going to be famous across the world if the VPN usage is rampant.
This week's episode, Rob Sitch is in it. Mark Mitchell, back from the Comedy Company days.
Starting off with some big heavy hitters.
Essie Davies, straight off Game of Thrones, just came straight in.
Still doing the accent? We didn't mind.
Yeah. And Hawley, Stephen Hall, people would have seen him as Mad as Hell. Great episode. But what we wanted to do is, because of all these great actors, Ham, people often watch TV shows and go, that guy was good, but how do they know how good?
Yeah.
So we thought we'd set up a test. It was an actor versus our layperson, our mate Hawks, and we invited Hawks to set Ham.
This is not for this week's episode, but we invited him to set while we were shooting the series, and we gave him a scene that another very, very famous, acclaimed Australian actor, Nicholas Bell, was doing.
He was in Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, many, many things. You'll know Nicholas Bell. We said to Hawks, look, he's never acted in his life. Andrew, you went to high school with Hawks. Yeah, no. Did he act in any of the stuff there?
No.
Did he do any acting?
His closest thing to an actor would be bullying them for being in drama, I would say.
So he got close to some actors, but wasn't on the right side of the
fence. Was actively against them.
History has shown he was on the wrong side of the equation trying to stamp people's dreams out rather than support them.
Yes.
However, we brought him back. Funnily enough, we were shooting at your old high school. Yes. So it was a big moment for Hawks to set back onto his high school and now go, oh, the bully has become...
I bet unfair on the bullying there.
No, he's not a bully. He's no Jack. He probably just was not paying attention. He was off playing soccer.
Yeah.
Which if you know Hawks, he absolutely loves. But now, this was the big day. We said to Hawks, like, how would it go? Just plucking someone. He didn't even know what he was turning up for.
Yep.
Plucking him from his day job as the head of a book company to become maybe Australia's next hottest acting talent.
Hawks. Thanks so much for coming.
That's right. We're on it. We're honored to have you on set.
We are very excited.
Now, obviously, you know where we're at. It's your old high school.
At school.
Yeah. You and Ando both went to this school. That's where we're shooting this week. Great story. Yeah. Great school-based story.
A lot of people often say, you know, acting must be easy, right? And we never get to compare, like, an actor to a layperson. Yeah. And that's why we wanted to give you the challenge today.
I reckon I could do it.
You don't even know what you're doing yet. I haven't really finished the challenge.
It's not being a schoolboy.
No. You will be playing, if you're up for the role,
the school principal
at an assembly.
Right.
Yes.
So do you reckon in 1 hour. We'll give you the lines. There's only about four or five
it's
lines.
It's one scene.
It's like one scene. Do you think you could learn it, step up, have one crack, and hit it out of the park?
Yeah.
Have you done much acting?
Well, never.
No school plays, no musicals?
No. No, not I played footy and...
water polo?
Yeah. Got a few detentions.
Pretty good snapshot of 13 years of school.
Played footy and got a few detentions. Yeah. Okay, so how will you go with remembering lines, do you think?
I think I'll be good. Like, I'll just remember a few key points, yeah, and I think I'll be fine.
Okay.
Well, hang on. No,
it is important, especially for this show, you do have to remember all the words in the right order.
Right.
So you're
okay. Well, that's acting.
I thought it was more like just being yourself. No, well, you've got to actually
that's be. Living.
Right, okay.
Can I ask you this? As far as you can tell, what's acting made up of? If you had to split it into three or four components.
Learning.
Yep, yep. The lines.
Yeah.
Yep.
And doing.
The big two.
So first came the learning phase. We handed Hawk the script for a run through.
Why don't I read the directions here? So the principal, Brother Davies, is at the lectern addressing the entire high school.
Oh, guys, we got some bad news.
Yeah, good start.
A couple of our students who will remain nameless.
Yep. Brother Davies.
Brother Davies, clearly.
No, you don't read that bit. That's the action line, so I'll read that. So that's what's happening. So yeah. Brother Davies clearly wants to name them.
Yep.
So then you've got to read
McFarlane.
Yeah, it says cough to cover. So you're like pretending.
McFarlane.
Yes.
Good. Right, got it.
And then cough to cover the second name as well.
Huntington Smythe.
Yeah.
Were caught smoking drugs in the cemetery toilets next to our glorious school.
That's it.
So you've only got that much time to hit it out of the park, and you want to leave the audience feeling,
oh no, this guy's,
taken aback. You want to leave the feeling you want to leave this scene on is. What's going to happen? You know, where's this going?
Okay.
Which calls for power.
Okay.
Feel good?
Let's do it.
Right.
After a few minutes learning, it was time for phase two, doing. Could he walk and talk at the same time?
Do you want to practice walking out? Like, it's your school?
Yeah.
How do you think the principal would walk out? Do you want to just get into the... If you start over there and then pretend the lectern's here. So you stride out, hit your mark. And then say your line. Say your first line.
To who?
Straight out.
Right.
Action.
I normally just stand prop for at least 1 second.
Don't stall. You forgot your line, didn't you? Clearly, he needed some more phase one, which is learning, in case you forgot. So we left him alone with the script as he attempted to commit his lines to memory.
A couple of our students who remain nameless, McFarlane, Huntington Smythe, were caught smoking drugs at the cemetery toilets next to our glorious school. I think I'm done.
You remember, though, you're a principal who's upset at this news.
Yeah. No, it's moment, in a different tone. Yeah. I'm just learning the lines.
Yeah, because at the moment you always smile smugly at the end because you've remembered your line. I'm not sure the character would do that.
While Hawk still worked on his new craft, little did he know, acclaimed actor Nicholas Bell was on set smashing it out of the park.
So this is how the scene should sound.
And action.
Guys, we've got some bad news. A couple of our students who will remain nameless, McFarlane, Huntington Smythe, have been caught smoking drugs in the cemetery toilets next to our glorious school.
With 60 crew members ready to shoot, he could not put it off any longer. It was time for Hawks to act. And we prepared him as best we could for what was about to happen.
You're going to walk in? Tim's the director. He's going to tell you where to stand, what to do. Don't look at the camera. Timmy, just let Hawks know what you want to do.
You're up here. You've learnt your lines.
I knew them.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to say turnover. They're going to slate it. Andy's going to say action. And you're going to do your best, okay?
Great.
Don't look at the camera.
No.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Here we go, everyone. Thanks. Turnover, please.
556, take one. Tell us slate on A and B.
Tell us slate.
Set.
Quiet, please. And action.
Guys, I've got some bad news. A couple of students who's going to remain nameless, McFarlane and Huntingdale-Smythe, have been caught smoking in the cemetery next to our beautiful school.
Is that all? That's it all?
Oh, I had better, but...
But still, well done, Hogs.
You'll have to tune in Tuesday to see if you made the final cut, mate.
Yeah, good luck.
The video to see how Hogs went alongside Nicholas Bell. Go to hamishnetty.com now, or our social pipes.
It will be there.
Yep, and of course,
get pumped.
The show Tuesday night 8:40.
Hogs on Channel 9.
No, Hogs didn't make it,
but a lot of other great people did. Ando,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw a topic at you here that no one would have expected us to be talking about, and no one probably is still talking about, because
okay.
This is certainly one of the topics of the year, but when I say the topic, you'll realise that it very much has a peak, had a run-up, yep. Basically like an Evel Knievel ramp.
Yes.
A big run-up,
yep.
A huge peak, a sharp drop-off.
Yes.
Royal wedding.
Yeah,
we thought it was all over.
Yes.
We thought it was all over. We thought we'd move on to other things now. Mm. There is, you know, until whoever the next person is.
Mm.
For alert podcasters.
It's a long time away, isn't it? And a royal divorce is probably the next big thing.
Start the sweep.
If one goes.
Start the sweep.
No, because there, as far as events, and then I suppose a passing, which we don't want to talk about, but that is...
You should get a head job at Buckingham Palace as the, unfortunately, the minister of harsh but fair news. But guys,
I'm just trying to think, the events people at the...
You should be the head of events. This is Andy, he's in charge of our Take Your Medicine department, because it cannot all be high-energy pastors and a lot of flowers.
Yeah.
You're not going to get George and Amal the next thing that happens, guys, because unfortunately...
Yeah.
I've called it. It's a passing.
Well, they would have known, the events coordinators would have known they had Harry's wedding on
Let's
the
enjoy
horizon.
This one.
Yeah. And then the
because
next
the
thing.
The next thing's going to
maybe be
chances
a bit more,
are.
Bit more gloomy.
Yeah. Chances are.
Yeah.
Unless Liz divorces Prince Philip, which would be haymaker to throw because.
So late in the game.
He is in the running. God bless the prince. For the passing. It would be huge, but then you might get a Liz remarriage.
Wow, that would be the events people.
The tables would be turned. All the tables would be turned. Then she's up at the altar.
Yes.
She calls. Maybe she gets back the guy that did the speech that everyone's talking about. Megan's guy. He struck a chord with me.
Clooney back.
Imagine if she was Oprah's marrying back. That pastor. We know what happened at the after party. What I actually want to talk about, though, is a bit of late-in-the-game gossip. Because as we know, when the royal wedding happened back in whenever it was, my mum was there, if you listened to that episode of the podcast, and she gave us an update.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd always just assumed mum gave us everything she got.
Really?
And then the other night, talking to mum, a whole new chapter came out.
Really? Was she saving it for to
I don't know what
back?
She's doing. Okay. I don't know if she's saving it for a... The end of year Woman's Weekly edition, or a year in review with special comments from Kerry Blake.
Yeah.
Mum goes, oh, I never told you this, but the day after, or the week after the royal wedding, I was granted access to Windsor, to the castle.
Wow.
And I went into the chapel 2 days after they were married. After Meghan and Harry were married.
How'd you get this?
They lottery out tickets, because I guess it's like any old church.
Yeah.
But the way Mum was saying it, because Mum is over 60, and anyone that gets what they believe to be behind-the-scenes access on a tour is just the greatest thing someone over 60 can get.
Yep.
So the way Mum was saying it was basically like she was kind of at the wedding, just 50 hours too late. So she goes, and I went in the chapel. She goes, heck, I walked straight up.
Mm.
I was at the altar.
Mm.
I was like, well, I suppose it's just a church.
It's a church.
Mum goes,
it's an empty church.
Mum goes, I saw everything.
I saw everything. I go, what do you mean? Like she saw the Queen nude or something. She goes, I could just see everything. I go, well, what did you see? She goes, the pew, like all the chairs where everyone was sitting. Yeah. She goes,
parts of chairs that Megan wouldn't have been able to see because people were sitting on them.
She goes, I'm standing right there. And mom goes, a metre from the chair the Queen sat in.
Yep.
I see everything. The palace has a chair burning policy. Like as soon as the Queen touches a chair, burn it so commoners aren't near it. Like
she would have seen what the Queen saw before she decided to sit on it.
Exactly. She could have touched a lint that might have been from the Queen's dress. Yeah. Mum just can't believe that she was walking. Mm. I mean, really, time. You slip time 50 hours one way or the other. Yeah. I'm sitting on the Queen. It's like, if it wasn't for 50 hours, I would be in Lizzie's lap right now. She goes, and then we went to the royal apartments, which they very rarely open to the public. Oh. Not never. Very rarely. Yeah. We had tickets to that. Yeah. Went in, Mum goes, I saw everything again. I saw the rooms where the receptions were. She goes, and look, you could feel the energy.
Right. Of the kind of energy was a party was here 50 hours ago.
I was trying to pass off to me like she was at the royal reception because she definitely could feel the atmosphere. She goes, and she goes, it was very positive. It was very, are we on a Foxtel ghost hunting show where you're walking around going, I feel there was a party here not 50 hours ago. Was I correct?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, but you've got it. And
you're not getting hot.
No, not at all.
Sorry.
Well, you should have taken your tracksuit. You should have taken your other tracksuit off.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a T-shirt under my suit, and I actually find this to be very comfortable.
They're also a bit tight. Like, they're probably made for shorter.
I don't find them tight.
Maybe painters aren't as tall as...
I find my new tracksuit, my placeholder tracksuit, I know it's not a permanent fix, but I find it more enjoyable than my Puma suit. And cool.
Yeah.
And I look better.
This is the risk Puma ran. As I said to them at the time, this is the risk they ran.
I mean, how many months did they get?
Oh, they did a good run, but I'm saying you can't avoid negative.
Yep.
If you're gonna, you dance with the devil if you come on this show. Yeah. And now,
this is not, it's not a paid
now what
thing.
Hamish is saying is
was always
that,
a chance
that his plastic/paper hybrid painting overalls is better than a Puma suit.
I will get less weird looks, I think, in this suit than I got in my old Puma suit, and that's a fact. And that's like sometimes if you're an athlete, right, you get sponsored by something, you're like, all right, I've got to use the stuff. Mm. There must be athletes that don't enjoy using what they're using.
Mm.
And then they get out of the contract and go, can I just shock everyone? Mm. I absolutely hated those tennis rackets.
Yeah.
I only had five strings in them or whatever.
Yep.
Not what we hear.
Happened to
discuss.
A lot of golfers with actually, I won't say with which brand.
Right.
Because it's the one that you're dealing with right now to get your suits.
I don't know what you're talking about. Ando.
Yes.
Speaking of interesting deals, we've got an interesting deal with the podcasters of this show. The interesting deal is this.
Mm.
We say, hey, do you have any special skills?
Yes.
And thousands of people have written in and said, well, you know what? I actually do have something.
Yep.
I'm a valued and important podcaster, and I'll fill out that form on the website. Often the deal, I'd say 50% of the time the deal's been neutral.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone, okay, that's a thing that people can do. 20% of the time it is a truly outstanding skill, and we've also been diddled a few times.
Yes.
I hope today is not a diddling, because I look at this skill and I just go, we've got to see this to believe it.
But, lay it on me.
But there involves, as you'll quickly see, one piece of honesty that we'll be hoping for from this young man. His name's Oliver. He joins us on the line now. Ahoy, Ollie.
Ahoy, boys. Happy birthday, Andy.
No need. Hey,
what a year.
Hey, can I just quickly check? Are we setting one up for future weeks, or are we about to get a...
We're about to get a skill.
Wow.
We're about to get a skill from you, Oliver.
Yep.
And I hope that what you've written on your form stands true. Do you stand by it?
I can't really remember what I said, but I'll stand by it at the moment, yeah.
Okay. Well, you said... you said, can divide any number by 7, including decimals, straight away without a calculator.
Yeah, I'll put a bit of a, like a...
See, if you could do that, I feel like that would be a thing that you would remember you could do.
Yeah, I could do under 100 straight away. Under 1,000 takes like a little while, but yeah.
Well, the level of trust that I suppose we have in you is like, do you promise not to use a calculator?
I promise, yeah.
Good.
All right.
I'm glad you do. Okay. I'm glad you promise.
Okay, so what are we doing, Am? Do you want me to get
Well, I guess we give him three sums.
You give the sums, and do you want me to be on the calculator?
So you can. So does it? So when you say including decimals, you'll give us the decimal places, or we could say to you like 27.5 divided.
Yeah, no. You give me a whole number, and I'll give you.
You'll give me the decimal breakdown. Yeah. So whole integers,
and to how many decimal places?
Yeah.
However many you want, mate.
Two.
Two's fair. Is two fair?
I could do six.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You give us six, mate.
Okay, let's give us six.
Are you definitely not using a calculator?
Definitely, mate.
Okay.
I believe you.
Okay. Hames, do you want to give the first one?
You give six. You're almost looking at an 8-coin coin if you get three from three.
Yep. The first number. Here we go.
54.
7.
Hmm.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
7. 1, 4, 2, 8, 5.
He's got it, but like, I mean, it probably would be actually 286 if you're rounding it up. So that's
857. So
that's a. Are you promising? Promise you're using a calculator roll?
Yeah, I really don't know how to prove it though, eh? Like.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, I don't think you are, but that is so incredible.
But again, I think he's cheating, so I find it less incredible. Do you want to give him another number, Ham?
Yeah, okay. 5.
0.7142857.
Okay, that's impressive, because he can't have done that.
That's amazing.
That seems quick, doesn't it?
And I thought I'd trick him by giving something lower than 7.
Yep. Now I'm beginning to believe, but again, I still worry about.
That's okay. I've got a way to check this at the end. That's okay. 2 from 2. Mm. Okay, Ollie for the clean sweep.
Mm.
91.
13.
Is that? Yeah. is that divisible by 7? Is it? Should have checked.
Wow, Oliver. Wowee.
Unstoppable. Do you know what? In a funny way, it is actually a test. Because if you were just using a calculator, you would have gone, hang on, 13. So it actually.
You're right, you would have done this.
You would have gone, 91. Oh, 7. Oh, sorry, 13, yeah. So there would have actually been a pause because not everyone would know that that is 13 times 7. Now he's saying it out loud. Very obvious that it is.
I think he's doing it.
Can I give you one more?
One more.
I literally don't know how to prove it, eh? Yeah.
No, I actually think in a bizarre accident, the 91 did prove it because it was just so obvious to you straight away. Whereas if you had been a big faker, you would have still checked it on a calculator. 92.
13.142857.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing it because he's doing it quicker than I can enter it in.
Ollie.
So, hey,
Ollie, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Year 11 math teacher. He's a bit of a, like, he just taught me how to do it and never forgot, I guess. Yeah.
So there's a bit of a trick to it, is there?
But I guess, like, good magician, hey. So if I told you the truth...
Hey, mate, you got yourself a coin.
Got yourself a coin, Ollie. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, well done, mate.
And you promise you weren't using a calculator.
Pinky promise.
Mate, that's the test.
That's it, the pinky promise.
3 times.
You guys both familiar with the pick-apart jingle?
Pick apart, 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 pick apart. Don't leave that.
Just the start of it.
Oh, I can actually do that.
So for people who don't know International Podcasters, it's a place where you can go and your cat.
Is it Australia-wide, pick apart?
I don't think so.
Could be one of those Victorian onlys because we grew up in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Could be Victorian only.
Is it still around even? Because I haven't heard that jingle in a long time.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but we watch a lot less TV too. You'd often see it like Sunday arvos in the cricket or whatever, and they probably ran local ads.
Essentially saying, don't leave your car lying in a heap.
Come to pick apart.
Everything's cheap.
I actually had probably some of the first
kind of like split augmented reality animation over real stuff, because it was an animated guy that slid out from under a real car and held aloft like a carburetor or something with a spanner in his other hand. He's like, I got one. And then there was real people walking down the aisles of like thousands of destroyed cars going, oh, he's done well. You can get good stuff out of the car.
The idea being is you can go, don't go to a mechanic, just go yourself, find your car
and
in this huge lot and just grab the part, pick a part, go back. The reason why...
It's very clever too, because you're picking apart a car, but you're also selecting the part you want. You're picking the part.
Yes.
Very, very good.
That song, Pick Apart, Pick Apart, Pick Apart, Pick Apart.
Yep.
I discovered the other day with Beck that if you replace Pick Apart with Scotty Pup, it becomes very hard to continue to do.
Scotty Pup, because she's got a Scotty dog.
She has got a Scotty dog, but... We were waiting for the dog to come out.
On a previous episode, you thought it was a Jack Russell. I believe.
Yes. Yes. I know, I just didn't know. It was unidentified.
Sure.
Unidentified. anyway, so I wanted to put a challenge to you and Jack Ham today.
Yeah.
Who can go the longest? You don't go into the actual words of the jingle. You just do the pick apart part.
Yep.
Saying Scotty Pup, Scotty Pup, Scotty Pup, Scotty Pup.
Yeah.
And then if you can keep going. You want to go first?
Do we just go at the same time and use your ear to discern who stumbled?
I think it'll be... No, I think because some people choose different paces, etc. I think...
I'll do it first as pick apart, so just because I've got a question here. Is it just this loop? Pick apart, 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 pick apart.
Keep that going.
Keep that.
Going.
God, what I feel like. I feel like I'm in music class and you're going, you keep that going. Then Jack's going to do mouth trumpet and I'm going to come in here with the maracas. And guys, we're going to make a song. It's that easy.
No, just keep that going as long as you can without stuffing up the words.
Your Scotty time. Pup?
Yep. Your time starts now.
Scotty Pup, 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 Scotty Pup. Well, I'm stopping because it's not hard. I laughed at the distance I was getting. I mean, I could do it probably for 24 hours.
Maybe it's
well. Hopefully, I can stumble for you, Andy. So,
but I mean, I was giggling because I was like, "It's like someone's gone." You go outside and you just sit there on that deck chair, see how long your bum can take it. Okay, it's like I suppose the first few minutes you're going, feel all right here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to even do Jack now.
Go, yeah, have a try, Jack.
Scotty Pup, 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 Scotty Pup.
Ooh.
And I think you lost the tune a bit. Ando, permission to finish the show on a high?
Always.
Great.
I love going out in a high.
Oh, sweet, because I wanted to do this.
Stand back. She's set to blow.
Look out.
Fire in the hole.
Hamish is blowing this wide open.
Amazing.
Amazing.
He's done it again.
Oh, what a great guy.
So rare to get to the opener so quickly.
Yes, I realise
how this works.
No, no, we might do the opener again. But I thought it was a nice long way of saying the topic of what we were going
to
do.
You're about to do, yes.
I'm going to blow something wide open. Haven't got the chance to do one all year because the podcast is so jam-packed these days, only doing one show a week. It's tough to get everything in. Things have had to rotate around a little bit, much to my chagrin, because this should be every second segment.
People,
I got so many.
People who don't know this segment, you fly around on your Truth Eagle looking
I saw high, I saw low. The Truth Eagle looks in nooks, crannies, but also from whatever a 30,000-foot perspective too. I'll zoom out, I'll zoom in.
Whatever altitude you're doing your crime,
I'll find you. A Himalayan scam, I get you. We'll fly up. Eagle doesn't need oxygen. I might need a little bit. So we'll have to acclimatise. But I'll get to whatever camp on Everest you're at. We'll fly in, we'll zap you.
Bush Rangers.
Hope we get
Buccaneers.
The right. Zap you with our truth lasers.
Yes. Crims, small time, big time. Big blackmails.
Fish,
green mailers,
yep,
all sorts of crimes. You will really, you basically
shredded mailers. If you're stealing someone's mail and shredding it,
that's a crime.
I'll buy that wide
open. You'll interrogate and you'll call them out on the podcast.
Not interrogate. I'll usually just assess the facts I have at hand, yep, and only pull the trigger when I know I've got someone dead, yep, to rights. Mm. Is there
a chance you're blowing yourself wide open today?
I never would do that.
Yeah.
One of the core tenets. Unfortunately, like Donald Trump, I have absolute power. I can grant myself immunity.
Because the vibe I've got is that you've made no contact with Nike whatsoever and will be in these plastic outfits.
Incorrect vibe. I'll blow you open for that. If I've got any Truth Jelly Night led, I'm going to slide one under you. As we leave the building, just give you a gentle blowing up.
Yeah. Right.
Here's the thing, Ando. Mm. Got an absolute ton of them on my desk that I'm waiting to prosecute. But thanks to people sending them in, do keep them coming in, hamishandy.com.
If you've got so many of your own, why do you need them coming in?
Because it helps. I think it's nice for people to feel like they're getting them off their chest.
Okay.
Even if they know ultimately I may not have time to prosecute all cases.
Yep.
I think just the act of talking about it, you know, that thing that they go, write your ex a letter, but don't send it, you know, slide it in your drawer because you've got all your feelings out.
Mm.
Similar to this, send an in, but until we have a budget shake-up in here and I can get another assistant, I don't think I can really get to all these cases.
He hasn't used one of his own since the beginning of time.
And funny you mention that, though, because got one from Dave this week, and I went, it's funny, I was actually going to do that myself.
Okay, so Dave's getting the credit.
Well, I will give Dave some credit because he might hear this and go, that was my one. Dave, actually, I was going to do exactly the same one. But I'll flag you, Dave, just in case, just so you don't, you know, have a gripe. Thanks for sending one in too, like a nice little shout out. You're in the flood. Lucky I saw you. Very hard to see an individual driplet of water in a flood, but I saw you. I acknowledge what you'd sent in. Play the opener, Jack.
I've done the opener.
Stand back. Come on. He's set to blow. Look out.
Fire in the hole. Hamish is blowing this wide open.
And how Jack was quick enough to do that. Like,
is that system? You don't have to load it up, do you?
It's the first time ever that I've got to play the same opener in the same segment. So I've already played it once. I know exactly where it is. You can get to it quickly.
You just press the button, don't you? You have to like cue it up. You know,
no, just press
off you go.
Well, the reason I got Jack to play it again, Ando, is because the first opener was to set the scene.
Yes.
Get everyone's excitement up. This opener was to send a warning tone to criminals, much like the bat signal. I assume criminals would see the bat signal and go, they're onto us. He's onto us.
Batman's onto me.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't that car I just jacked. I hope it was something to do with the Joker. Coca-Cola. Now, I don't know. Yeah. Ooh. Not scared.
You look a little bit.
Yeah. You're a great company, Coke, first of all.
But what about them?
You know, I think you're terrific guys, et cetera, et cetera. Could be them, could be the vending machine company they use. Now, I don't know the last time you went to get a juicy can of Coke from a vending machine. Very juicy, full of fluid. Mm. But nowadays, a lot of vending machines have got the credit card on them, tap and pay, because, like, sometimes waters, at the airport, water's like $7.
Yes.
So you just
tap and pay.
Not everyone. Jack's nodding. This is the world he wants to live in, a cashless society.
Mm.
Dave, as I said, sent this in, showing clear photographic evidence, and I had similar stuff in my evidence file too, of the can of Coke he was looking to get was $2.
Yep.
It's one of the new no-sugar Cokes. Clearly photographed in its position in the vending machine.
Yep.
Position 44, $2. From the looks of things, it looks like Fanta was on the rung below. I can't quite see.
Okay.
He's split-screened it. He's tapped his money. He's tapped his card, and it pre-authorized his card. Remembering the Coke was $2.
Yes. Yes. I know what's happening. Yes.
Pre-authorized his card for $3. Now, Coke, you had no authority to do that. That's an extra dollar you've taken.
But there would have been other things in there that's probably worth more than $2.
So he'd put 44 in first.
If he changes his mind, he put 44 in first.
And then it's pre-authorized it for $3.
Right.
It's taken more than it deserved. And maybe it gives it back. Coke, I'm sure, gives the dollar back. What does it do with that dollar while it's got it? Invests it. Keeps the interest.
What, for like half a second?
We don't know what... We don't know what bots are doing.
See you next week, everyone.
Well, I think we've blown something. That's a huge blow wide open. Coke, one of the biggest companies in the world, taking $1 of yours and investing on the short-term money market and then giving it back later going, here's your dollar. Did you do anything with it? No. Unbelievable.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.